The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, from, I suppose, a fractured relationship to a successful partnership, our next guests are both former hairdressers who met by chance and became firm friends. They've used their experience as hairdressers to come up with a tech solution to make salons work more efficiently. Connor Mools and Glenn McGoldrick of Barespace, you're both very welcome to the programme. Connor, have I got your pronunciation, your surname right there?
Mools.
Mools. You're both very welcome. But I suppose... the business, Barespace, and we can talk a little bit about what you guys do, but I want to just focus on how two fellas who didn't really know each other, you actually have an awful lot in common, that when you join up the dots, it was almost inevitable, Glenn, that you would end up forming a business like this together. Just tell me about your own background growing up. You grew up...
Yeah.
Where you grew up?
Yeah, so I'm from Talla. Grew up in a very nice middle-class area in Talla, and... yeah, like, for me, it was funny, like, my life was probably always down to end up being self-employed or being a entrepreneur. I always joked about, like, I wasn't very good at sports growing up, so business was my sport. And that kind of stemmed from my dad. My dad was always very entrepreneurial, very self-employed. He actually had his own business from, you know, as early as when I was 4 or 5, so...
And did that rub off on you when you were a kid?
Oh, 100%. Like, I was, you know, working there on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday from probably 5 or 6 years of age, helping out in the shop. And, like, I always said that, like, seeing commerce happen at that early of an age, seeing money exchange hands, dealing with customers, answering the phones, has a very big impact on you from that age, right? And that, for me, like, I mean, people in school always joked and said, like, it's probably down to be Glenn that ends up doing something in business, because... I took that into school then, you know, so I'd be selling stuff from my locker and trying to make a few quid, basically, you know.
There was a bit of Del Boy about it, was there?
There was absolutely a bit of Del Boy about it, yeah. So I was heavily influenced in business from a very young age, and that all stemmed from the fact that, you know, my dad had his own business, and it was easy for me to go and experience that life.
After school, you weren't particularly keen on the sort of traditional educational route. So what did you do then?
Yeah, so again, like, I was pretty determined to get straight into work. I was 16 when I set the Leaving Cert, so I was still quite young. And my parents said, look, spend a year or two finding something that you want to do, and I completely fell into hair. Like, I had no ambitions of doing hair. It was pretty bizarre, actually. And I suppose I was becoming heavily influenced by, like, stuff I was seeing on social media. So Instagram had become the new social media platform, and anything visual was really starting to take heed on there. So naturally, hair and barbering and women's hairdressing was becoming quite popular. True,
it was inevitable it was going to take off, and you wanted to do something like that. Connor, you grew up in Wexford?
Yeah, North Wexford, a little village called Kilgrainy.
And were you a bit of a Del Boy? Were you interested in sort of business and making a few quid when you were younger?
Yeah, bits and pieces, right? Out of necessity more than anything. I come from, as I said, a small village in North Wexford. Everybody around me was working from a very early age. A lot of tradesmen, a lot of people that are just getting out there and getting it done. So yeah, from 12, 13, I was picking up glasses, I was emptying horse stables, I was, you name it, I did it at times, you know.
And you finished school early, you didn't stay on for the Leaving Cert?
Yeah, so I left school after my junior cert. Interesting story. So I obviously came home from school, told my mum, I have a very close relationship with my mum. I'm done with school, I want to leave. And as you can probably understand, she wasn't jumping up and down with joy about the decision. But one of the things that she wanted me to do, or made sure that I did, was, like, no dilly-dallying, no time wasting, apprenticeship straight away. And this was, like, 2006, so, like, naturally my brain went straight to the building site. And, like, almost in that moment, it shaped the rest of my life. She said, you need to speak to Mairead. Mairead Kavanagh is her best friend, but she was also the, I think, area manager for Peter Mark in Leinster at the time. So 2 days, 3 days later, I'm sweeping hair in Cornell's Court.
And what your mum had to say about that mattered enormously, because she was on her own. It was a single parent family.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think if you look at it, and just with the relationship that we have, that I think when you turn around to your parent and you tell them that you are leaving school at that age, like as a parent now, the fear would drain me. So I wanted to make sure that I was making, couldn't be sure I was making the correct decision at the time, if I'm honest, but I wanted to make sure that I was at least going to work hard and pull it out.
So I suppose another shared thing between the two of you, you went away then, Glenn, you went to London.
Yeah.
And you went to work in a hairdressing business that was very much ahead of its time.
Yeah. So I was only in hair maybe like 2 years, and I was noticing that the industry in London was just light years ahead of Dublin. And I thought, if I'm going to make a career out of this, I want to be trained by the best, basically, and really apply myself. So, yeah, I was very lucky. Like, I moved to London when I was 18, and went about trying to learn under some of the best people that I knew in the industry, and luckily I did get that opportunity, and spent probably like close to 2 or 3 years over there learning, growing and educating myself, and was lucky to basically travel the world teaching barbers and hairdressers in that time, because the brand that I was kind of working for was starting to really take, you know, a massive jump all across the world.
And that became very big, that business, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah. So the business itself, Menspire, it went on to have north of 30 salons globally across 7 countries. And that experience in and of itself was, as you can imagine, huge. The bare space, being able to bring that knowledge into building a platform for the hair and beauty space. But yeah, that was a pretty pivotal point in my career.
Did you enjoy London?
I loved it. Loved it, yeah. It just became apparent that there was better opportunity in Dublin to bring that level of skill back here and try to create an industry here that I was seeing in London, basically.
So you were a man with a plan at that stage. Yeah. And Connor, you went away. Was it to Australia you went?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So I done my apprenticeship in Peter Mark as a colourist. That would have been 2006 to 2008. And obviously, 2008 recession, it felt like the lights went out in Ireland on a Tuesday and they didn't turn back on again for a couple of months. So, yeah, I headed off to Australia. I lived in Sydney. Didn't get back into hairdressing over there, to be honest. I enjoyed the first couple of weeks over there and randomly fell into a door-to-door sales job, selling electricity. And that's the first time I've kind of done sales. And through then my career, I basically built and led business development and sales functions. I was very lucky, to be honest, as well, to meet some really good people who believed and invested in me and kind of opened doors for me that probably would have traditionally been shut. But yeah.
I mean, it's interesting, you both ended up in hairdressing, and yet you've kind of, you're still in it, but you've moved well beyond that with the business you've done. I get the impression that you enjoyed it, but you weren't necessarily mad about it, were you?
I enjoyed it, right? But I think it's one of those things that when you're that young, you're kind of just looking to see what's out there. Well, I didn't know whether I wanted to do it as my career. I knew I was willing to work hard, and I knew that I wanted to make money, if I'm being honest. But it wasn't something that I didn't enjoy. I kind of loved it for the time I was there. What I really loved about it were the people. People that you worked with, the people that you dealt with on a daily basis. It's very fulfilling when you're maybe servicing 8 to 10 clients a day, and they're coming in and they could be having the worst day ever. Their dog could have died, they could have lost a family member, they could have crashed the car. But they come in and they leave, and generally, if you've done a good job, they leave a happier person with a smile on their face, and that's an enjoyable thing.
Is it hard listening to those stories?
No, it's absolutely not. For me personally anyway, I loved it, right?
What about you, Glenn? Did you enjoy that end of it?
100%.
People telling you everything that's going on in their lives, good, yeah, bad, and different.
Yeah, I always laugh and say that like beauty professionals are basically therapists, right? Like there's a certain relationship there between you and your clients. And as Connor said, like it's very interesting the level of honesty that these people are willing to go to, right? Because you build up such a strong relationship with these people, and you're probably one of the few people in their life that they're close to but isn't directly in their circle of friends and family, right? So yeah, it's a massive part of hair and beauty.
So you have the two of you, you don't know each other, you've both gone into hairdressing, you've both gone abroad. Yeah. You have a background, Glenn, in terms of technology and selling things, and you've learned a lot about running a hairdressing business. You have learned about sales. There's all these little things coming together, and the bit that's missing then is the two of you bump into each other or meet each other? How did that happen?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So I was working for a company in Christchurch in Dublin, and I was walking through Temple Bar. I think it was the 17th of July, 2017. And I needed a haircut. One of my friends was actually getting married the next day. And I was walking in, I had a look in, and there was Glenn in. At the time, he had just came back from Menspire, and he was waiting to open his first shop on Anger Street. And he was actually freelancing in a tattoo studio in Temple Bar. And I had no time, I just went in and sat down in the chair. And instantly I knew that Glenn was a little bit different in regards to how he thought about what he was doing and the level of detail he put into it. Instead of speaking to me through the mirror, which a large majority of professionals would, he actually spun me around and spoke to me face to face, sat down in the seat opposite me, and the consultation was at a level that I'd never felt before as an Irish man, to be honest, getting my hair cut.
This was different, and it was pretty impressive.
It was in depth, and he cared about it, and he genuinely asked questions that I'd never even considered before in regards to getting a haircut.
That wasn't part of your prinkle. What's this guy have? What's he asking?
Honestly, right. And then the haircut itself was just world class. Glenn's probably too humble to say, but like, no doubt the number one hairdresser, barber in Ireland at that time. And yeah, like, if you know me, I don't give compliments easy. If you go to my Instagram to this day, on that exact day, I took his freelancer business card and I took a photo of it on my Instagram. And
I
literally said, this is the best barber in Ireland.
Now, you decided at some point that you were going to set up a business, Bare Space. Whose idea was that?
It was kind of a chance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of a mixture of ideas, yeah. Really, right? I think we both wanted to create business in the sector, and Glenn probably wanted to create it from more marketing and growth perspective, where I wanted to create it more from an ecosystem and an operating system and almost one tool to rule them all.
See, I thought after all the compliments he's given you there, Glenn, that you'd say, oh no, it was Connor's idea. Genius with ideas.
Well, do you know what, like, the funny thing is we had been speaking about it for that long, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we spoke about it on the first haircut, like, because I was, you know, for me, it was like, I was always looking at that there was something better to be done in this space, right? Like, a lot of the salon software was designed by people that had no idea of the industry. And
so just in terms of the idea and what it is that Bare Space does, just give us the summary of that.
Glenn. Yeah. Well, essentially what Bare Space is we are an operating system for the hair and beauty space. So our mission is to basically create the first all-in-one solution for hair and beauty. That means that they don't need a single other product to run their business. So you can do marketing, bookings, payment, reports, growth, all under the one umbrella. And not only are we building a world-class product, but our mission is to really create the first sustainable business model for these salons. So a big issue at the minute in the industry is that a lot of these softwares have created business models that just destroy the margins of these salon owners. There's really high commissions on first-time services. And
so the way you structure it, because you have that background knowledge yourselves and you're from the industry, you have a sense of making sure that it's something that's going to last. And what about the size of the business now and how you do make money? How do you get your revenue?
Yeah, so we've got just north of 300 salons live on the platform. And that's across UK, Ireland and one or two countries in Europe. And at the moment, the main part of our business model is that we charge, obviously, a monthly subscription. Which is fair and in line with how salons should be charged. And we also have a point of sale or a POS built in. So the point of sale collects their card payments and really creates the first part of the all-in-one solution. So they're able to have their payments, bookings all under one roof. We are working on some pretty exciting products at the moment that are going to really change the industry from AI and technology. Maybe we'll save that for the next show, Connor.
Yeah,
you'll hold back on that. But it is the plan then to expand it into more salons in Ireland, in the UK? Are you looking at other countries? What way do you want to grow it, Connor?
Yeah, look, I think the plan is worldwide domination. I think we want to be in every country in the world. If you look at, like, we've launched a product about 2.5 years ago. As Glenn said, we're live in 20 countries. We'll turn over 20 million euro this year. One of the fastest growing companies in the country. And the good thing about the problem that we're solving is that it's generally a problem in most countries of the world. So yeah, we're looking at international expansion. We're looking.
And how do you win
expansion.
New customers? Is it knocking on doors?
A lot of it's digitized, to be honest now. So it would have been knocking on doors. We've taken that same kind of theory and put it into social media. We have content creation teams, and to be honest, and wanting to be humble, but wanting to be honest with you as well, a lot of it's inbound. Salons talk to salons, and like any good business, the best way to grow it is word of mouth. If you do a good job,
this is working well for me.
Exactly.
You've raised outside investment. What was that process like, Glenn? Was it difficult to raise that and to do the presentations and convince investors to back you?
Yeah, I think like at the very start, you're two guys not from the tech industry. Not with a tech background. I think saying, kind of putting across your plan, can you almost need a level of delusion that to keep going with it. It's so difficult at the start. And I think we were very lucky that our investors kind of seen how driven we were to fix the problem and believed in that. But from a venture capital point of view, if you look at the amount of businesses that are even today trying to do something like we're doing, let's say there's 500 around the world today that are trying to raise money, I think less than 1% of them will be successful at raising venture capital. So we're very lucky. Our partners, our venture capital partners, Elkstone, believed in us, seen the vision, and the numbers kind of spoke for themselves. So it's much more difficult at the start, but the longer you go, the more proof and data points that you have to kind of facilitate a decision.
So how do the two of you divide up the skill set, your strengths and weaknesses, and how do you get on?
It's actually pretty straightforward, to be honest. Like, I always say that the strength of me and Connor's relationship is knowing what we're both good at and what we're both bad at, and that is cancer to a startup, basically. And you see it a lot in the startup space where two founders come together and they have very similar skill sets and they really struggle to divide how the business operates and runs.
What do you leave to Connor? What do you trust him on? Well, wouldn't trust yourself on it.
It's very simple. Connor's more so the commercialist and I'm more so the creative. So like our roles at the moment are very conducive. We're completely divided on a day-to-day basis. So I kind of at the moment looked after everything front end. So brand, product, anything that the customer touches or feels kind of falls under me. And, you know, Connor runs pretty much everything else from the operational side of the business, from sales and operations. And, like, having that division between our roles is actually our superpower, where we know the other person is absolutely stellar at their job. And you see it a lot in startup. It's a very, very big problem.
Well, you've already taken it to quite a level, and the very best of luck with that world domination. Connor and Glenn from Bearspace, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.